Dr. David, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So, David, what do you think would be taught in these sex education classes that would raise concern among some parents?
Look, I personally can't think of what would be concerning about a young person learning about their sexuality and the mechanisms of sex and discussions around gender. I personally don't understand what the problem is by empowering young people, but I am aware that there is a lot of concern and tension in our society around young people and sex and their knowledge of sex education.
Well, what are some of these arguments against sex education in schools?
I think that there's a general perception that sex education in schools is trying to indoctrinate students into some sort of philosophical belief, or that young people just aren't ready to hear about the facts behind sex education, about what sex education is, about what sex is, and there's concerns, I guess, that young people aren't prepared for these discussions yet, and that, you know, there's a fine balance between introducing a topic to a young person and their readiness to have sex.
Right. And, well, John Howard, he's argued for parents to have a say. Do you think they should ultimately have the final decision on what's best for the children?
Well, I think that parents certainly have a stake in their stakeholders in their children's growth and development and the knowledge that they attain. But with most of the school curriculum, it's not open to negotiation with the parents. We teach about literacy, we teach about health, we teach about numeracy. These are accepted things that we teach about in schools. And yet we seem to have this great big fear around teaching young people about what they're going to be doing with their bodies. And a significant part of their life, their identity, and empowering them. So I don't think that we can separate health and healthy relationships from the rest of the curriculum and cherry pick and say, well, we will mandate that we're going to teach about literacy and numeracy, but we're going to opt in or opt out on healthy relationships and sex education. I don't see that as being helpful or appropriate.
And, well, how do you think the removal of children from these sex education classes could potentially affect them in the future?
Well, I think that by not empowering young people with knowledge, which is what school is all about, it's about self-empowerment for young people, it's about providing them with a direction. If we're moving young people out of classes because we don't like the topic that's being taught, in this instance, sex education, then we're denying those young people the opportunity to learn about who they are, who they're going to become, and about empowering them around making healthy decisions and about having healthy relationships in the future. I think we're going to be excluding particular young people from having that knowledge and empowerment.
If you're just tuning in to The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Dr. David Rhodes, a senior lecturer at Edith Cowan University, on John Howard's comments to defund public schools if they implement mandatory sex education. Now, David, Howard said that his submission to the review was to address the fact that reforms relating to religious freedoms have an unlikely chance to pass both the lower and upper houses. How much do you think public schools accommodate for families with religious beliefs that wouldn't align with these mandatory sex education classes?
Well, I think, firstly, that we live in what is supposedly a secular society, and we have a secular government that funds public education. And therefore, I think that we need to separate the church and state. They're the first things that should be happening in our society. We pay lip service to that. But we don't necessarily do that. For instance, we start Parliament with the Lord's Prayer. But I think that we really need to move into the 21st century, which is somewhere I imagine that John Howard hasn't quite made it yet, and that we can't be putting provisions of funding or funding removal on schools simply because certain element of people who aren't even in government at the moment have a problem with the content that's being taught in schools.
Well, say we do remove the sex education classes from school, how can we be able to rely on parents educating the children themselves when it is a quite uncomfortable and difficult conversation for quite a lot of people?
Look, it really is an uncomfortable discussion that a lot of people will have with their children, and whether they're teachers or parents. I think one of the first things is we need to make sure that young people are being given accurate, evidence-based information. We need to be teaching about sexually transmitted infections. We need to be teaching about safe sex. We need to be teaching about healthy and respectful relationships. We need to be teaching about gender equality. These what some people may see to be uncomfortable discussions, I think need to be held in a safe place, and this information needs to be imparted in an impartial way. And if parents aren't feeling comfortable about having these discussions themselves and with their children, and these discussions aren't taking place in school, then the only other places where young people can find information are going to be on the internet, which, you know, could lead them down dark paths towards pornography and things like that, where we certainly don't want young people going. So I think we need to keep these discussions in a safe and informed medium.
Right, well, hopefully we can sort this out soon. Dr. David Rhodes, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.